You can't see it. You can't see me, but I'm totally dabbing right now.
Mom.
Hello and welcome to Just Some Guardians, episode 14. We are your quick ship stop thing for all things casually being nerdy and Bungo and Destiny and all that crap. Russell, how's your butthole this week?
It's itchy.
Glorious. Well, we are Just Some Guardians. We do our most, we are stuff that has to do with things. And I'm tired and getting over a cold.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Russell,
so
to be quiet.
We are a Destiny podcast, and on the in-between weeks, because you can't talk about Destiny every week, we do our nerd talk. So that's what this is going to be. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Joining me tonight is my ever sensual co-host, Nicholas.
Hello.
Oh my! How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. You know, no complaints. There's that wicked PSN sale going on right now, and The Witcher was remarkably low priced. So, you know, stuff. But
yeah, your sexy, sultry voice.
I'm good.
The Witcher was remarkably low priced.
It was a remarkably low price. Get in there, swipe your card.
It's your butthole.
Also joining us tonight is the effervescent insert chime sound here. Russell, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm wonderful, man. Thank you.
No, no, thank you.
No, no, I insist on thanking this other voice we have with us tonight, returning gloriously. What a beautiful man. Ladies and gentlemen, Jake. Yeah, that's what you were looking for. How are you, buddy?
Good. Only good.
Yeah. Wow. Great. Bye, energy.
Yeah. You came in strong, and then just, yeah, killed it.
God, it's like me in bed. Anyway, moving forward.
Well, on that note, guys, I got.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, I'm going through a tunnel. Sorry, guys, I'm losing you. Well, let's go around the table for our usual intro here. Russell, what have you been up to this week, man?
I recently picked back up Shadow of War. I played it when it first came out religiously. 100%ed it. And now the Blade of Galadriel came out. So I picked it back up again. And currently I am playing through the story mission, because I wanted to do that again before I picked up the DLC, and so that's pretty much what I've been doing, just playing a lot of that, because it's addicting. You've been picking DLC.
Picking my nose. Not true.
Isn't that what DLC stands for?
Pick the nose.
Delicious.
And I'm picking the next person who's talking. Jake, what have you been up to this week?
Whoa! Thrown under the bus. I wasn't even ready. I don't remember what I had for dinner last night, dude.
What'd you have for dinner tonight?
I don't know. Nick made it.
Oh, tonight? Doesn't he normally make it?
Yeah. I just sit here and work on my awesomeness. Always. Getting quite good.
I try to tell my wife that that's why she should make dinner, but she doesn't think that that's such a great idea.
You should get yourself a boyfriend instead. It works great.
You know, I might have to.
Fiance now, but waka. Waka! Dudes get dudes.
That's fantastic. Thank anyway. You for continuously losing your energy there. Nick, what's new with you, dude?
Well, you know, Witcher. And Brigitte was announced for Underwatch. So
that's not what you've been up to.
Naturally, I'm like...
That is what he's been up to. He designed her. Yeah. He works at Blizzard, remember?
Yeah. I am... Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff from the Overwatch team.
Can you give me a job there?
Mercy Main, start awesome. Sweating now.
Yes. No, I really am Jeff from the Overwatch team. Not true.
But anyway, no, let's just stick with that and just let people forever wonder. Jeff from the Overwatch team decided to join our little teeny podcast.
I don't think anybody will actually believe that.
Yes. So, but no, I was been playing Overwatch as per my usual. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited for Brigitte. And The Witcher is currently being played. And I ate food.
Hey, since you made it, what did you have for dinner?
Pizza. Oh, you mean
you
last night?
You didn't make it.
You mean last night?
No, tonight. Jake said he couldn't remember.
Pizza. We made pizza.
You didn't make
it. Actually, I'm pretty sure Nick was talking about making pizza.
I'm pretty sure that's a lie.
You're a lie. Your whole life is a lie.
You're not.
I am a lie.
You're not wrong.
Ooh. I'm a lie? We're all lies.
We're all lies now.
Mm. You kind of sounded like Soldier 76 there for a second with that gravelly voice.
That was the point of the joke.
Is this a bit?
Oh, God. It was absolutely a bit. That was the definition of a bit, Mr. Russell. So I'm currently getting over a cold, so I've got that sweet, sexy, cold voice. I woke up this morning and was like, oh, yeah. I'm sick. This is good. So if I start sniffling and coughing the whole time, I apologize. And also, this is a nerd talk, so if I end up having to disappear for 80% of the episode, that's per use.
That's for reals.
Right? This week with me, I've finally got to go into Monster Hunter some more and do a mission I've been waiting 3 weeks to do, so I had time to do it. Just a little bit of Destiny and when I could. Most of that is just taking care of sick kids and going to work and hating myself. You know, the usual week to weeks. So there we go. We're all caught up. I feel closer to all of you guys.
Oh, yay.
We should all meet
just
sometime.
What I always wanted.
We should go out and, get wings and then frolic through a field.
I just don't know if the chemistry would be there in person.
I think you're right.
No, it wouldn't.
It would be gone. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Calling it now. Yeah, fist fight.
I love frolicking.
See, me and Jake would be good. We can go frolic together.
No.
Forget you guys. So I think we're going to start off. Our main goal of the night is to discuss personal favorite book series. And so I think in the interest of time, because we all thoroughly enjoy everything, I think we'll go around and we're definitely going to get in depth with each one. But if everyone wants to pick a favorite book series, and then we'll kind of
go
through,
first.
Discuss that. And then Nick will have a segment for the Overwatch League per usual. I'll cover the games coming out for this month, since we are in March now. And then we'll go from there. Russell, guide us in.
Yes. My favorite book series is The Wheel of Time.
Please, tell me more.
Okay. So The Wheel of Time concerns, it's mostly centered around a young man named Randall Thor, who finds out that he is the prophesied return of a powerful individual from what is called the Age of Legends, and he is meant to fight the Dark One and return him to his prison. That's the premise of the series. The thing that I like about it the most is the way it branches out to encompass the entire world, because it spreads out. It has multiple main characters. I mean, we're talking six or seven main characters by the time the series comes to a close. That all have an impact on the world. And I love the way he starts very small. He starts with a small village, and then it's just, you know, it's four main people with a fifth that gets added in about 25% of the way through the story. And it's following them and the events, and then at the end there's this major event. This is just of the first book. There's this major event where you come to understand what's at stake and what's going on, and then it delves into that, and the world expands from there exponentially to where you're, I mean, it encompasses an entire world because this is the destruction of the entire world that could come about. The change of everything that they know and love, and it centers in a few countries on a certain continent, but it embroils people from several other continents as well. And by the time you get to the last book, you have every major known culture embroiled in this world-ending war, which is awesome. And it, the thing, another one of the things that I love about it is it takes, so it's not just a hero who's he makes all the right decisions, he does all the right things. It is a man put into a position where he is this prophesied savior of the world, and how he copes with that. And at a certain point in the series, he believes that he, because he knows that he's going to die. He knows that that is going to take place because it's been prophesied to him. He's gone to multiple sources and basically confirmed that that is a thing that's going to happen. And so he is trying to harden himself to death, trying to harden himself against feeling of any sort because he feels like it'll only hinder him in his purpose. So he has to, it's him overcoming that, you know, and realizing what the one of the epiphany moments is, okay, why am I saving the world? Not just I have to save the world, so I'm gonna do it, but why? What's the purpose in defeating this being who is all about unhappiness, anger, sadness, destruction? What, you know, what is my role in opposing that? And, you know,
I kind of dig that.
why?
That's not just like, I'm Mr. Hero guy, so I'm going to just go save the day. I like when there's like that personal reason behind it.
Well, and that's kind of how it starts out, but by the time it ends up, he is trying to understand what his purpose is. You know, not just, okay, I'm gonna go and defeat the Dark One, but what happens after I defeat the Dark One? I'm gonna die. What kind of impact am I gonna leave on the world after this? Because part of the prophecy is that he's gonna destroy the world, that he is going to break it apart, that everything that is structured now is going to have to be laid bare because everybody's got to join together in this battle, and he's going to have to, you know, do these things that are contrary to his good nature. You know, he's going to have to conquer lands. He's going to have to suppress people that are fighting against him. You know, it's actually a really, really interesting book. It's like 14 books long.
That
It's
was going to be my next question. Was it a
massive.
trilogy or was it a lot? Because that sounds like a lot to pack in.
No. Yeah, no, it's like 14 books. Because so Randall Thor is what's called a Teverin, which means that he warps the pattern of fate around himself. He's one of the truly free people, but he also, people who come into contact with him, they're almost bowed to his will, which is kind of this cool, interesting
So does
touch.
he just like change the fate of those around him, or can he change his own?
He can't, so and that's kind of the interesting look because he is fated. He has this fate to die, and he has to die to overcome the Dark One. And
Oh, I see, I
so
see.
you know, and that's kind of the premise of because he can warp, and he has he's a person who has this ability to change fate, but he is also restricted by his own fate. And so it's kind of this interesting dichotomy of somebody who can warp the pattern to fit himself to the point to where weird things happen around him. Like people will all of a sudden get married, because and people experience his dreams, and people, like some of the events that happen, like somebody falls out of a second story window, they walk away without a scratch, or a baby dies for some unknown reason, and so like there's this warping of the pattern around him, and by the end of the books he can't go anywhere without people realizing he's there because these weird things are happening, you know what I mean? And so he is this pivotal figure, this leadership. But there are two other young men who grew up in his village who are strongly to Viren as well, not as strong as he is, but very strong. And they each become leaders, and both of them are very opposed to it. They grew up in a small village. They have no understanding of leadership or what it is. And so one of them is a rapscallion. He's your typical rogue. He likes to gamble and drink, and that's all he likes to do. He likes to pull pranks, like that. And he's just very kind of nonchalant, and he becomes a leader of a nation. And then you have the other guy who's very simplistic, he wants to go back and become a smith and do his own thing, and he ends up becoming the leader of a nation as well, a leader of people. And you kind of have it's them being themselves and being good leaders because they are themselves, but also the warping of fate around them. It's a strong the concept of fate and how time is a wheel that reoccurs periodically is a strong theme throughout the book. That's why it's called the Wheel of Time, because it is a pattern that is established that rotates around and comes back to what was eventually.
When did this come out?
How
I'm
many
like
books
looking
is
it
it?
up right now.
It's like 14 books. The first book came out 70s? No. 80s maybe? I think it was the early 80s. So it spans about 20 years. The last book just came out a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow, dang.
And in fact, the author actually died before
Oh.
he could finish. It ended up, so what happened was is they it ended up being the last three books were written by Brandon Sanderson. So for anybody who's listening, Brandon Sanderson is an awesome author who does lots of cool and interesting books in his own right. But Robert Jordan was the original author.
And they're not
He
related
had.
anyway. He just picked it up from where the other guy dropped off, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so Robert Jordan's wife actually chose the person who was going to take over and finish the books off.
Okay.
And so he died prior. It was supposed to be two books. There were supposed to be two books left. Robert Jordan died, and so what he had done is he had, there was the outline. These are the events that are going to happen. These are the things that I want to happen in the series to finish it off. Because he, as he's on his deathbed, he's like trying to write and finish and get it to a point to where maybe another author could come and finish it off. I mean, he wanted to finish it himself, but at the very least, he wanted to deliver to his fans this epic series that had gone on for several books. And so he died, and Brandon Sanderson. So I listened to one of the interviews, and he actually said he got the email, and he sat down, and first he didn't want to do it because he loves the Wheel of Time, and it was just this big part of his childhood. And but then he thought about it, and he was like, I don't want to do it. I don't think I could do it like Robert Jordan could do it, but I don't trust anybody else to do it. So it's like, and so he took over, and he said it was kind of like being the already having the script laid out and just being the director that says, okay, the characters are going to go and do these things. What was supposed to be the last book was actually split up into two books because it was so large. There are so many events going on. So the second to last book, over the timelines elapse over each other. So the second to last book has to do with Randall Thor's what's going on with him and his journey to becoming the only person who can defeat the Dark One. You know, because up until that point, he's the Dragon Reborn. He's pulled a lot of the nations together, but there are some events that happen that shake his confidence, that make him realize that maybe he doesn't even have the right to the prophecies, you know what I mean? Because he's gone, he's done these things, it has warped itself around him, and he's made these things happen that have indicated the prophecies. He is the Dragon Reborn. And he, at a certain point, he thinks, okay, I know what I need to do as the Dragon Reborn. You guys just need to get out of my way. You know what I mean? And his confidence gets shaken through some different events in the books. He feels like he has to subjugate everybody, and then it's him, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's him becoming who he needs to be so that the world doesn't enter an even darker phase than it would if the Dark One were fully released.
Huh. When did you start reading this series? Like, what point in your life? Was this like a, was this when you were biking to and from school while reading at the same time, or was this later?
No. I mostly read Redwall, actually, I think, in high school. Incarnations of Immortality. That was mostly what I was. Anyway, no, this, I started reading this. So my dad had read it as a child. And I actually started the first book when I was still in high school, and I got through the first couple of chapters because the first chapter, the prologue of the book, I love every part of this series, the allegories that take place in it, the connections. It is Tolkien in its complexity without being quite to the degree that Tolkien is, right?
Okay,
he doesn't. Yeah. There is a history to this world, but the books cover basically two main events, kind of thing. Two main points in time is kind of what is occurring in the books. So it doesn't go too much into what happens between and stuff like that. It does a little bit. It you kind of get an idea of what a specific culture of people have gone through in the interim. And you know, because it takes place with, okay, so what happens is the very beginning of the series is people have magic, right? And there are two main forces of magic in the world, and that is Sidin and Sidar. And that is the males use Sidin, and they, I think it's Sidin, it might be Sidar. Anyway, they use the male half of the source.
Which
right?
one is it, dude?
Which I can't remember. Oh, they're so similar.
This
in
is
name.
Going to ruin your description. I'm pretty sure if you get it wrong.
I know. I'm pretty sure it's Sidin. The male practitioners, they use Sidin, which is used in a different way than the female half of the source is used. The
female half
in
of the
fact...
source is in the kitchen, right? Kidding.
Oh.
Kidding.
Oh. Well, the female half of the...
I know, that is me.
Yeah, right.
So the...
mix all up in your kitchen, half... making you them sandwiches.
And I wish.
pizzas.
I've seen your hands. I bet you make delicious sandwiches.
Oh.
You get that nice white bread, some roast beef cut thin sliced, so it's like a crispy kind of meat to it.
The most boring sandwiches lettuce. Are made with white bread. They're far more interesting flavors.
No.
you could say the same
bread.
Thing about people.
Oh.
Oh.
Says the white guy.
Right. To all the other white guys.
The podcast.
But anyway, so Sidin is the male half of the source. It's much more... So like, they kind of have this allegory of a male can't teach a female to use... their half of the source, it would be like trying to teach a fish to fly. It just doesn't work because
it's a really
the
bad
theme.
Analogy. I've done it.
or a bird to
fish
swim.
Are pretty graceful.
Because the male half of the source is taking control, grabbing onto the magic, and wrestling it into doing what you want it to do. The female half of the source is all about surrendering oneself to the magic to get it to do what you want it to do.
So the males, you know what I mean? Teach the females their side, and the females can't teach the males their side.
Right.
Okay.
they do similar things with the power, but it's so different in the way that they utilize it that it's impossible for one to teach the other.
Huh.
But so what happens is during this Age of Legends, the Dark One was released. There was
I just want to make sure.
Prison.
Is this like a backstory, or is this like you're telling the entire book?
This is backstory.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure you're not like telling the entire book.
No, because it actually starts. This is specifically contained within the prologue.
Oh, okay, 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 cool.
Yeah, yeah. This is all I'm talking about, because what it is so a bore is drilled into the Dark One's prison, and it's a small hole. He's not fully released into the world, but a bore has been drilled into his prison, which is like outside of reality. It's another dimensional kind of thing. It's not an actual physical place. It's a ephemeral kind of thing. Luz Theron, the dragon, and 100 companions go to the boar. They are able to put a seal over the boar with Sidene. The Dark One lashes in retaliation, lashes back to them and corrupts Sidene, the male half of the source, making it to where as the males, as they use Sidene, it corrupts them and drives them insane. So they start killing, like, Luz Theron in the prologue. It talks about the fact that he's killed his entire family because he did not recognize them. So it's the descriptions are all melted stone in his home, people lying on the floor as he's walking through them, talking to the thin air, almost as if he has dementia or something.
Dang.
And so through talking with, oh gosh, what's his name? But for some reason, I have his name as he's known later stuck in my head.
Make one up. Juliet, Bernard.
Anyway, it's so there were 12 or 13, 13, Forsaken, that turned over to the Dark One, practitioners of the Source, the One Power. They turned to the side of the Dark One, and they kind of led this war as his generals against everybody else. The leader of them came to Luz Theron, repaired his mind for a moment, just enough for him to realize what he had done. Luz Theron takes so much of Sidene into himself that he creates a volcano and kills himself. And so, but then there's the prophecy that the dragon will be reborn, that Luz Theron will be reborn into the world because he's this pivotal figure in history. And so Randall Thor is the dragon reborn. He is Luz Theron come again. And because the males who have access to the source eventually go insane and destroy everything that they come into contact with. So people fear him. They want him dead. Most people want him just dead, gone. But they know that they need him to combat the Dark One. And so there's some people just want to kill him because they don't believe in the prophecy. Some people want him to stay around because some people want to collar him because he is a male practitioner of Sidene. He will eventually go insane. They are going to direct him. They are going to collar him. They are going to use him to accomplish their goals. And so it's crazy. I mean, it covers several books of, you know, people trying to incapacitate him so that they can take control of him, or trying to manipulate him. It covers political things. It has great action sequences. It has great, you know, sword to sword combat, magic combat, political intrigue. It's a great series.
Well, before I just jump back in, hey guys, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Before we move on, do you want to call out the what it's called again?
The Wheel of Time.
The Wheel of Time, ladies and gentlemen. You can find it at your local bookstore. Use promo code JustSomeGuardians.
You'd probably be better served getting it off of Amazon because it's probably easier to find than going to.
That's
a
dirty word. We don't use that word.
We don't give 0% off. We give beautiful error codes.
Absolutely wondrous error codes. Do you like the letter, the numbers 4, 0, and 4?
It's like a rainbow in your mouth.
Then if we got a deal for you...
Or the color red.
Mm-hmm. What?
Or the color red.
You like the color red.
Well, thank you, Russ. Yeah, I already got that pulled up. So I can go find that. And I probably cannot promise to get through all 14 books, but I'll definitely pick up the first one and dive in.
The audio...
Oh. Ooh, if, ooh, I didn't think about that.
Get the audiobook. It's read by the books are fantastic.
Uh-huh.
But if you don't have a whole lot of time, get the audiobook. It's read by Michael Kramer and Kate Redding, and they are fantastic. Fantastic.
Are they fantastic?
They're fantastic.
So if you were to describe them using like one word, what word would you use?
Velvet.
You already used one. I'm sorry. You can't do that.
You know what, Nick? You can take my fantastic and shove it.
In your velvet.
In your velvet.
Your velvety waxed butthole.
Oh, God.
Actually, it's probably similar to velvet now because it's grown out a little bit. So it's got that nice...
So this is probably going to be pretty obvious. But Nick, I'm going to throw it to you, man. What's your favorite book series?
I will encourage everyone for the answer to this question to please visit greendragonlive.com, where my good buddy, also named Nick, and I do a podcast that reads through, breaks down, dives in, and just swims around in Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien and
Lord of the Rings.
So that is greendragonlive.com.
Dude, plug away. Is
also,
there like
you can find the podcast where
Twitter and all that stuff.
You just so happen to find podcasts. We're on Twitter at GD Live, and yeah, please take a look. We have Facebook. We're on Facebook, Green Dragon Live.
Wait, it shortened to GD Live?
I think so. Either that or the hashtag. The hashtag is GD Live. The Twitter account might be Green Dragon Live.
We are GD Live, folks. GD Live.
We're goddamn live.
Gonna live.
Yeah. I love the book. You can hear me nerd out for, I think, a grand total of like 40-some hours now.
Well, yeah. Nick, you and I nerded out for, what, like 2 hours last night? Yeah. Was it 3.5?
Oh, is that what some cool, hip young kids are calling it these days?
Yeah, it is.
So, but yeah, definitely check it out. I could say... I could talk a lot about it, but I've already talked about it, and I encourage you to check it out.
Yeah.
Online.
And if you haven't read the books, I would definitely recommend seeing the movie.
Well, yeah, no, yes. No, definitely check out the movies.
No, for sure.
If you've never read the books, that's why we did Green Dragon Live. Like, go check us out, and we will read the books with you. Like, it's fun. It's a cool experience.
Oh, for sure. So. Yeah, I've checked out quite a few of the episodes over there, and it's a lot of fun. There's good chemistry. It's beautiful. So, in case there are some people that have not actually sat down and read it or heard of it, that happens. I've met people that have never heard of Van Halen or Jimi Hendrix, and that hurts my soul. Why don't you just give a...
What's
like,
Van...
Vandalism.
Vandalism.
Vandalism. Yes, yes, it's band.
Actually, I like feel like that would be a great...
If you could just give like a brief synopsis... And then why it's so good to everybody, and then why it's so good to you.
Much briefer than mine was, because I realized I was talking for like 30 minutes.
I fell asleep, so I don't know how long it was.
I figured you would.
Let me think. So why it's important and good and beautiful. It's the quintessential high fantasy story. And if you can think of elves... and orcs and dwarves and trolls. The image that just flashed through your head as I named those things, the way you pictured them, that's because of Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings. Elves, before he wrote The Lord of the Rings, were like little garden gnomes. Orcs didn't exist. And trolls were things that lived under bridges in like Swedish and Nordic mythology. So, yeah.
Cave trolls technically still live under bridges.
No, they live in their mom's basement.
And there's a bridge
above
the basement.
Is that where trolls live?
Yeah. But no. So, blah 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 stuff I've already said. Oh my god, what was I just gonna say? Son of a goat.
Well, why is it so important to you? Because it is, obviously, you're in a podcast about it. I know you've read it a million times, like the movies, obviously, a million times. Like, what about it connected, and why is it so important to you personally?
Because of the depth. And I, when I said, you know, like we read through the Lord of the Rings and associated works, because the Lord of the Rings came after, like, a mythology that Tolkien, and a world and languages that Tolkien had kind of invented. And so if you take, like, take his mythology and everything, and that's, like, the backdrop to the Lord of the Rings. The Lord of the Rings is one story. It just so happens to be the most prominent story, as far as pop culture is concerned, that takes place in that world. And the depth that exists there is just second to none in the fantasy world, or though I should say the world of fantasy writing and storytelling. It's absolutely insane. If you want to have like your mind blown with how much like one person can come up with, go check out the Silmarillion. Don't try to read it if you're not ready to read a history book, and have fun doing it.
There's history books, and then there's that one.
You're not wrong.
If you like learning about the history of each individual tree branch,
it's not that ridiculous.
I wouldn't say. I would say the Silmarillion is probably better at conveying the lore than Lord of the Rings is.
Oh yeah, Lord of the Rings isn't there to convey lore.
It's just there to push the story.
Tell a very specific story.
Mm-hmm.
Is it there to tell a story? Because
really,
I feel like
it's a very different experience reading the Lord of the Rings. Once you've read the Silmarillion.
Oh, absolutely.
It's
oh, yeah.
Completely, like, once you've read the Silmarillion, you, like, reading the Lord of the Rings and having this massive, like, you know, this context that spans ages, age upon age in this world, and, you know, all these different names that are dropped, you suddenly know who these people are. Like, there's one sentence that one of the characters utters in the middle chapter of the first book that carries absolutely no weight if you have not read the Silmarillion. If you've read the Silmarillion, you read that line and you're like, oh my god! So,
which line was it?
I don't want to say anything because I don't want to spoil anything for people that haven't read it. Russell.
It's one line that has no context according to you.
If you go to page 764, paragraph 2, line 4, after the second comma, you'll know what we're talking
basically,
about.
Basically, Elrond makes a comparison.
Okay.
There we go.
I don't know which one you're
references a couple individuals that you don't know who they are if you haven't read the Silmarillion. If you have, the fact that he's comparing an individual with said Silmarillion individuals is just, like, insane. And it's amazing. It makes me happy like a panda. So...
like a
but anyway, player? Yes, greendragonlive.com, please check it out. You won't be disappointed, and you get to hear me be an idiot.
Well, that's always worthwhile.
They're getting that right now. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to hear the way he talked to me.
So this is an exciting moment for just some Guardians. So we do this show live on Twitch. Twitch.tv/JustSomeGuardians. We actually have people in the chat today. This is different.
What?
Yeah.
Hi.
So
we have a chat.
I'm going to subject change real quick just because this is such a historic moment. Well, for one, Calamet's in chat. Hey, buddy.
Green Dragon. Hey. Check out
I missed you.
Podcast.
And then Frogman 11711 wants to know what our favorite YouTube series is. Jake, do you want to start us off there, bud?
Favorite YouTube series? Oh, goodness. I have a few.
Do it.
Bring it.
I'm a car guy, so mine are all car related. But there's this guy that does BMX, and he's, like, super in cars, MLZ. I watch his videos. They're, like, daily. They're pretty good. Him and his wife are kind of cute. And then I like Mighty Car Mods. There are a couple of Australian dudes who've been, like, modifying cars in their driveways for like
Oh my God.
the past decade on YouTube. They're like on season 10 now or something. It's crazy, but like they've come a long way. They're
What
kind
are
of
they
fun to
called
watch.
again?
Mighty Car
Mighty
Mods.
Car. Okay, I gotta remember. Anything with Australians in it is always fantastic.
Oh yeah, they're hilarious. They just
They're
super
fantastic.
funny.
I really enjoy
Nick
them.
likes them.
I'm not a car guy, and I
Yeah.
love them.
Well,
And
yeah, they're
then
Australian.
my
You have to.
Yeah. And then when you came to visit, when you helped us move, I kind of introduced you to my last one, and that's
Yes.
the Donut Media series called
Yes.
Up to Speed. They do like
Yes.
5 to 10 video clips on like the history of some specific car, and the dude who does it, I think it's like James Humphrey is his name. Just hilarious.
Oh my
Absolutely
God.
to die for.
Yeah.
So funny.
His
It's
style kills
beautiful.
me. I'm so glad you introduced.
Right?
Like, I've been watching all of them, and I like send link. Like, my dad is into car stuff, and I'm like, Dad! And so I send him like every episode now. It's so much fun.
Love it.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, totally cool.
There's
Super
also
fun. It's always comedy that I'm into, so.
Engineering Explained.
Energy. Okay. So, Engineering Explained, I like a lot, but that's because I'm a mechanical engineer, and, like, if you're not into, like, the science behind everything, it's. Don't bother. You'll be bored. Sometimes I'm even bored, but like
Oh,
sometimes it talks
damn.
about some pretty cool stuff, so I'm like, ooh, interesting.
He was watching a video the other day when I got home from work that was analyzing all these different vehicles of different weight classes and their tires and the stop distance and whether or not the tire, like the math that went into this was like,
Very, very math oriented.
You have already
yeah.
lost me.
It was remarkable.
But the guy who does it has like a super dry sense of humor, so he's kind of funny too. So
Oh, I
I
love
kind of like
that.
that part as
Dry
well.
humor kills me, dude.
So, anyway,
No, going back to Donut
yeah,
Media
those are
real
mine.
quick, like, I love how he, for one, he's a character, and so he mixes, like, the facts in with his own sense of comedy, and then I love when he does, like, the little, like, movie clips with his face imposed in there while he's doing stuff.
Oh God, yeah!
It
All the
kills me.
Photoshop, it's hilarious.
So good. No,
And he works a deadbeat dad joke in there probably every episode.
Oh my, and it's
It is
so
every
good.
episode. It has to. If it's not, wait, did the Saab one we watched today have the dad reference in
I
it?
don't know.
Oh man.
I have to tell you, Jake, you'll love this. So, my dad is a huge Toyota buff, and the 4Runner is like his favorite thing that's ever existed in the history of mankind.
Oh, did you show him
So I
the
sent him the
4Runner one?
4Runner one, and he actually sent. So he sent an email to Winnebago that just said thank you.
That's
I
awesome.
was
So
like,
yeah,
glorious.
for anybody who's not like familiar with what we're talking about, so the Toyota 4Runner, the SUV, kind of originated from the Winnebago like RV and camper company. And they kind of
Really?
just decided, yeah,
Yeah.
they just decided, oh, let's just, throw a topper on the back of a Toyota pickup truck.
They're like, how
And
are we going to do that? We need the who's good at that?
yeah, right? Winnebago.
Winnebago.
Well,
It's
yeah,
called
Toyota did
Winnebago.
that.
Yeah, it
Yeah,
was some guy
Toyota
that
owned
owned like a
something.
dealership in Wisconsin, right? He was like, "Oh, this would
Yep.
be a good idea."
Yeah, exactly. So that's what they did, and it sold like crazy. So
Oh my
yeah,
God, so good.
that's why it's funny that Brett's dad emailed Winnebago.
No subject line or anything. It literally was just from my dad, and all it said was thank you. That's it.
That's awesome. So funny.
That's my dad's humor for you. I love it. I love it.
All right, so how about you, Brett? What
God,
are
it's not
your
so much like a
favorite YouTube
YouTube
series?
series, but I don't know if anyone watches
References.
have you guys heard of Jack Frags on YouTube?
Nope.
So he's one of like the biggest like gaming channel guys that does reviews and videos and stuff for different games. But so he'll do like when a new game comes out and he's reviewing it, like the first video he always posts is just like clips of all the just craziness that him and his friends have gotten into in the game, set to like just hilarious like classical music and like opera and like just crazy hilarious stuff, and his friends are hilarious. So then later on he'll do like the very formal reviews and going into everything, but I just love whenever he pops up the new ones. I'll send you guys a link in the chat, but he did a video for Sea of Thieves, which is coming out this month. And his intro to that was just, I was crying laughing. It was so good. But yeah, so Jack Frag's on YouTube. If you haven't watched him, you should go do it. I think he's British. And yeah, his sense of humor is just amazing compared to some of the other guys that are like at his level who are very like, here are all the damage numbers if you are standing at 42 meters. Shh, this is a library. Please be quiet. So I love it. Nick, what about you?
YouTube series?
YouTube series. Or YouTuber or what channel or whatever.
I don't really...
Nick doesn't watch YouTube.
Oh, I'm not really... I don't know. Like, I found, like, I don't know. Should I talk about Matt and Blue?
If you want.
I mean, if it's something you know and like, go for it.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about it.
I mean, I guess.
Get on with it.
On with it, sir. So, I'm not, like, I don't really do the whole YouTube thing, and I randomly stumbled across a YouTube series. It's Matt and Blue, and anyone remember the, there's a show on ABC Family ages ago, Kyle XY?
I thought that was on CW.
Yes.
Yeah.
The actor that played Kyle, his name's Matt Dallas.
Okay.
He, this YouTube series is Matt Dallas and his husband, Blue Hamilton. That's his actual name, Blue.
Okay.
And it basically
that's not what it sounded like.
it chronicles their life, like what they do, and they have a son that they adopted from the state of Arizona.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's, I think their son is 3, and it's just them being a family.
So is it like a daily vlog channel thing, or?
Not a daily vlog. It's like a weekly vlog or semi-weekly vlog. But they, I mean, it'll be random, like they'll do Q&A videos or they'll go and they'll do, so this is our morning routine. This is our family morning routine.
In this section, we are going to learn why your recording session should be set to private. We had a wonderful individual randomly jump in. For some reason, their settings were not set so we could record their audio. So I will insert my own here.
Hello and welcome to our podcast. May I have your name, please?
My name is Billy.
One more time. Billy?
Yeah, that's my name.
Hello, Billy, and welcome to Just Some Guardians. What's your favorite YouTube series, bud?
Oh, I'm going to have to go with Minecraft.
Minecraft is fantastic. I concur.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Is there a certain person you follow?
I'm out, brother.
That's a great idea.
Oh. Peace be with you and everything you stand for.
I miss you.
Thanks for stopping
I'm your biggest fan.
That was sweet, guys.
I was literally like, I saw him come online and I was like looking for the...
Yep. And that is why I'm very adamant about closed parties.
This is your party, isn't it?
I know, but I left it open it so is. Everyone could join earlier. Which was something I had to physically go in and remember how to do.
that is an acquaintance of Jake's.
Yeah, that's a family friend. Old family friend.
And his name was Billy, right?
No, it was actually Brett.
Brett, okay, cool. Wow.
We call him Little Brett.
I would love to have him back on the show sometime. It was very interesting.
Sure, if you like trolls.
Oh, okay, anyway, that was glorious.
Yes, but Matt and Blue, it's kind of cool, and they did a whole episode, because, you know, to a degree, it's personal for me, because, you know, Jake and I are engaged and all that stuff. Do want to have kids, so they did an episode that was talking all about what they went through and what the experience was like, you know, adopting as, you know, as a same-sex couple. And so, yeah. So it's interesting. I really enjoy their videos.
That's really cool. I like that. What was it called again?
Matt and Blue.
Matt and Blue. All right, I'm going to write that down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to check this out.
Yeah, I kind of like the whole adoption, you know, spending time with the kid aspect of it, but I will say I don't really care for it because I think that they're very like clickbaity.
For sure. A lot of people that have like purposeful channels for like vlogging are definitely that way. But no, I'll check that out because I used to really enjoy like those like family vlogging channels way back in the day. I was like, this is so much fun.
I have a family.
So that'd be nice to revisit that.
It's neat. It's
yeah.
Neat. And yeah, I don't really have anything else to say.
Oh, God. He left before he could answer my question.
No, he said he liked Minecraft.
Yeah, I asked him if, because we were talking about specifically, I asked him if there was a specific person he liked watching Minecraft videos. Oh, man.
That's okay.
Well, just invite him back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me...
He might not join.
No, I think he will. Russell, what's yours while I'm reopening the party so someone you guys can invite him back? Yeah.
Critical Role.
Because that is my favorite thing. I don't watch it on YouTube anymore. I started out watching it on YouTube. Now I watch it on Alpha so I can see the newest episodes without having to wait a week. Yeah, that's definitely my favorite. It's a group of voice actors who play Dungeons and Dragons. And they are amazing, and it is inspiring, and it is the best thing ever on the internet, period.
It's pretty awesome. 9 times out of 10, like if you can think of a character in a video game or an anime or a cartoon even, chances are one of the people that's on Critical Role voiced that character.
That is accurate.
It's intense. And the Dungeon Master is McCree from Overwatch.
And that's important.
It is important.
The party's open if you want to bring him back in. I'm very curious.
I invited him. I'm mm-hmm. gonna try and message him on PlayStation Network.
Okay. If he doesn't come, that's okay. But like, what if that was someone's favorite part of the show, and it's a cliffhanger? Okay. I don't believe in cliffhangers.
Well, then it'll just get more people to come back the next time.
What if he's not here? What if I never see him again?
I second Russell's Critical Role, though. Like.
So yeah. No, that's fantastic.
Choose, like, favorite. It was Critical Role, and then Matt and Blue is still new to me. So.
Yeah.
Cheeseburgers.
Miami cheeseburger.
No, like Russell, like at gunpoint, forced me to look them up finally, and yeah, it's been like a glorious journey.
You've actually been watching it, Brett?
Yeah, dude. You're like, Brett, I will get on a plane and I'll eat your children, and then I will like lick your foot until you cry if you don't watch it.
That's true. That's true. You know, they also have the podcast.
Yes.
Now that is up to date. So if you can't catch it on YouTube, there's the podcast. And also, they are on Project Alpha, and they stream on Twitch from Geek and Sundry.
There you go. Love mm-hmm. it! Well, yeah, let's move fantastic. Over. Well, we're waiting for Mr. Man to come back.
I don't know if he's gonna. I didn't realize that you can set your PSN settings to not allow people to message you, even if you're close friends with them.
Did you do that?
No, Brett did. Little Brett did.
Little Brett. I can't. Not Big Brett.
Yeah, I can't.
There's Fat Brett and Little Brett. Brett. I'm Fat Brett.
You're bearded Brett.
I'd say medium Brett.
Medium Brett. Oh God. That means there's a. So wait, if there's a little Brett and a medium Brett, is there like a grande Brett and a venti Brett?
I also thought you were gonna go with medium rare Brett.
No, because we're American and ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Yeah, dude. Obviously.
And nuggets.
I like Mountain Dew Small Blast. It's delicious.
Okay, what was that, Russell?
I was just curious as to why venti is a coffee size if it means 20.
It's 20 ounces.
I have a Paul Rudd clip for 20
hours.
No, it's a 20 ounce cup.
I also don't like that their smallest size is called a tall.
Yeah.
Like,
get over yourself.
Yeah, that's the only one that bugs me. So out of spite, I just always order small, medium, or large.
Well, Nick, are you ready, sir?
Like, acknowledge you? I got yelled at one time for that.
You got yelled at?
It's venti. Am I ready for Underwatch League?
Yes.
Well, let's pull it up. So where are we in the Overwatch League? My Outlaws are actually playing right now. I'm missing it.
I am actually impressed to see them in third place. I think that's pretty awesome.
They're second place overall.
Are they? I thought. Oh, for.
Well, they were third place at the end of stage one, but yeah, now they're currently.
But weren't
higher.
They? I thought. They
well,
were
stage.
Overall, they were first or second place, but for the finalists, they were third place.
Overall, I believe they're third place, or at least as far as when I was looking yesterday.
Chisboard.
But, and then...
Oh, yeah, they were second stage one. I just pulled it up.
Two. So far in stage two. Let's see.
Stage two, they're second place.
Stage one, New York Excelsior was first place. Houston Outlaws were second place. And London Spitfire was third place. But Spitfire won the playoff. Or the final for stage. But their overall ranking at the end of the stage. Or sorry, New York Excelsior won the playoff. Never mind. London Spitfire is third place. Houston Outlaws second place, New York Excelsior first place. And in stage two so far, we're looking at...
And when did stage two start?
Isn't cooperating.
Recently.
I started this past week. The week before, a week ago today, actually. So at the moment, Seoul Dynasty is leading stage two. Houston Outlaws are bringing up the middle of the top three. And Philadelphia Fusion... is third place, but they've only played two matches so far.
Yeah, I think everyone's only played two matches right now.
Take that. Oh, a couple have played three. A few.
Oh, that's
quite
yeah.
A few have played three.
My team's played three, yeah.
But your team is fourth place.
Yes, they are right now. Mm-hmm. They're above London right now.
Wow.
So we're the first day of week two of stage two for the Overwatch League. We had a whole bunch of new players signed for the Shanghai Dragons. We had a player switch from which team was it?
Oh, there was a lot of people that switched from different teams, but the only reason I knew there. Mine is because Sure4 from London actually came to Gladiators.
Oh,
so now they've got three main tank players.
The Houston Outlaws signed a new tank, which will be interesting. The patch that took away the insane power of Valkyrie for Mercy, and the OP, like, blast radius of Junkrat's mines, that went through, so the meta is quite different in Stage 2. Stage 3, we're looking at possibly having Brigitte added to the roster, which will be...
Ooh,
who is
be
that?
Cool.
That is the new character that was announced for
I would
Overwatch.
Love to hear more about that, Nick.
She, Brigitte Lindholm, is Torbjorn's daughter, and Reinhardt's goddaughter. So her name actually comes from Reinhardt. Reinhardt named her after he saved Torbjorn's life, and as a reward, I suppose, was that he asked if he could name their daughter. And so she is a mechanic and works to kind of maintain Overwatch's tech and all the heroes that are fighting. But also, you know, works to heal them, I guess. That's not the right word, but care for them when they're, you know, wounded and off the battlefield.
And so she's part of the new iteration of Overwatch, right? Because she wasn't
much,
part
yeah.
of the old
Correct.
Watch?
She was little. She wasn't even born. And then I think when Overwatch was disbanded, she was like a toddler. But she... In her little origin story video that they released, she talks about how she thinks that she needs to get into the fight and start, rather than just, you know, fixing the damage after the damage has been done. She thinks she should start helping mitigate that damage and stop it from happening outright, rather than just fix it retroactively. So she is a unique character in that she is a tank healer hybrid. She's got a shield like Reinhardt, smaller, but same concept. She has a melee weapon like Reinhardt, but she can heal through armor packs that... it's a heal, but it will stack armor for any overheal. And her like offensive toolkit, she does a lot of like knockback effects. Like she can use her mace, just this big one-handed mace that can become like a whip, and she'll whip the mace out and it'll knock anyone that hits backwards. And she can do a shield charge, or that shield slam, sorry, that lunges her forward and she knocks whoever she hits with it back. So she's a total anti-dive character that has this instant use, 6-second cooldown, big heal that puts armor on for the overheal. And then any damage she deals with her mace, it generates a heal over time on all of the allies that are around her.
Oh,
so,
she sounds so cool.
Like she's total yeah. frontline tank. Her ultimate is rally, a rallying cry, or I can't remember. People just say rally, and there are trumpets that the blast, and she basically leads the charge. Her movement speed increases, and all of the allies around her start getting armor slowly stacked on them, and eventually it caps. But they say the radius is similar to Lucio's heal radius or song radius, and Zenyatta's transcendent. So she's in the PTRs right now for players that play on PC. Console players won't get to do anything with her until she goes live, but I'm hoping it's pretty quick here. I know Moira was only on for a bit on the PTR, like 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Yeah, she wasn't there. Like, I just heard about her then. There, I was like, logged into Overwatch, like it felt like the next day, and I was like, oh, hey, she's here, look at that.
Right. So I'm hoping people are having a lot of fun with her on the PTR right now.
Right.
So, but yes, anyway, back to Overwatch League.
Real quick, just so everyone's aware, Russell had a business meeting come up, so he had to dip out. So just so everyone's aware, he was gone for the rest of this episode.
Oh, beans, I wondered what happened.
All right, continue, please.
Anyway, back to Overwatch League. Stage 2, Week 2 starts tonight. Right now, we're actually, it's Houston Outlaws versus
Fusion, I believe.
Houston Outlaws versus Philadelphia Fusion. Outlaws are up to nothing right now. So, go Outlaws, woo! So, then up next at 11 p.m. Eastern Time is New York Excelsior, or NYXL, versus Boston Uprising.
Yeah, that should be pretty good.
Definitely rooting for NYXL.
Beautiful.
If you're interested in Overwatch, go to playoverwatch.com. You can also go to overwatchleague.com if you want to take a look at what is going on with the league at this moment. There is a mobile app available. Just search Overwatch League in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store on an Android device. And stay classy, San Diego.
Beautiful. Did you mention they're on Twitch too?
No, I didn't, because I'm a little twitchy.
That is twitch.tv/Overwatch League. Very good. And they actually started for stage 2.
Oh yeah, they started their cheering thing.
Yeah, the cheering thing. Do you want to talk about that, or do you want me to do it?
I know nothing about it, so if you would like to.
Yeah, sure. So if you watch live on Twitch during the Overwatch League, they started, anyone who's been on Twitch for a while, you know, the whole bits system that you can, you know, it's like a lot cheaper than subbing, and as a way to like a little mini currency to like cheer for people and whatnot. So Overwatch League took that in with them, and you can unlock and earn Overwatch League specific skins, not like where we've had where it's been the Overwatch League teams with the skins, like very specific, a different color palette, and it actually says Overwatch League on it. So you can go, I think it's like $1 for like 100 bits, and like up from there to, there's people spending thousands of dollars on these things. But you can use bits for a chance to win, and then they have milestones set up where if as a community you hit a certain milestone of a total percentage of bits, it'll unlock a skin that is then in the game to be unlocked. So that's kind of cool. I think we did the math, and it's like some outrageous number for how many dollars have to be spent on bits to unlock a skin in the game. But people are doing it, and it's a good way to earn more money for the league. So more power to them.
Membership numbers up, et cetera.
Right. It's working. People are like, numbers are staying super consistent. So I dig it. So that's that. So let's move on from there as we're creeping towards the end of the show here. And to end us out here, I'm going to go over some games, since we're at the beginning of March, some games that are coming out during this month. Unlike the past, I'm not going to go over every single one, because that covers like every mobile game and all that stuff, and that's just way too much for me to read.
47.
Right? Now with something else that no one cares about and you can spend money on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before I proceed, real quick, what is the Roman numeral XV again?
XV is 15.
Thank you very much. All right, so Final Fantasy 15 Royal Edition is coming out. I hate Roman numerals. Yes, so the Royal Edition, let's see here. Didn't Final Fantasy 15 already come out a while back? Yes. Yes, it did. In the case of Final Fantasy 15 Royal Edition, you're getting the full original game plus a gaggle of new stuff. There's a new dungeon, a bunch of bonus items, and new areas to explore that previously were unexplorable. Think of it like the Game of the Year version or the Complete Edition. It's a release that costs $50 and comes with a bunch of bonus content. So that's coming out on March 6th for the Xbox One, the PS4, and the PC.
Ta-da! I think Final Fantasy 15 just launched for PC too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. So
that
there you
game
go.
is the I forget how to phrase it. It's not an MMO, so it's not like a persistent online multiplayer game. It's a single player game, but it has gotten more post release content for free than any other game in history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. Intense. It's gorgeous.
It had its
looking
issues
game.
When it launched, but they fixed it. To the point that they totally rewrote an entire chapter of the game.
So I'm wondering, and it doesn't say here, because this edition, the Royal Edition, is actual the game for $50 with the new content. So I don't know if you can actually purchase the new content separate or whatever that is involved, but so that's what this is.
I know there have been a couple quote-unquote episodes released, because the game centers around the main character, Noctis Lucis Kylum, who's the heir apparent to the throne of the kingdom of... Oh god, I can't remember the name of the kingdom. Shoot. It has to do with sleeping. God, why can't I remember it?
I forgive you.
Oh, this makes me sad. But anyway, he has three friends that are also like his sworn protectors, and they're your like allies and compatriots throughout the game. And each one, there's three episodes, quote unquote, that are mini side stories that are like their own. It's almost like their own games, because the mechanics are very different than when you're playing as Noctis.
Uh-huh.
There's an episode Ignis, episode Gladio, and episode Prompto. Those are their three names. Kind of love Latin. But they
Lucis.
And it fills in gaps and gives some background, and like all they almost act as kind of prequels to some degree, or a couple of them act as prequels to what happens in the actual game. So those I know cost additional money. They were like $9 a piece.
Oh, okay.
So those are probably included in the Royal Edition, I would expect.
Interesting. I would hope so. So also coming on March 6th, we have Scribblenauts Showdown. Have you guys ever played a Scribblenauts game?
Mm-mm. I have, for DS, the first one.
Yes. Scribblenauts is a zany franchise that encourages silliness and creativity at every step. By typing in various words, you're able to conjure stuff out of thin air. Type in chainsaw, and you'll get a chainsaw. Traditionally, the games were focused on single-player linear progression, and they were all on Nintendo's handheld consoles. In the case of Scribblenauts Showdown, you're using the same magical conjuring mechanism to face off against friends, what, in mini-games. And instead of playing it on Nintendo's 3DS, it's coming to PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch.
Well,
damn.
Pretty fancy.
I could see you two having a lot of fun with this.
Don't talk to me like that.
I could see you two having a lot of fun with it.
All right. What else is set for March?
March 16th. Nick, are you ready for this?
Tomatoes.
Kirby Star Allies comes out.
That actually sounds like a lot of fun.
Kirby Star Allies is another fresh take on a classic franchise from Nintendo. The focus here is on cooperative play, with up to four players at a time floating around. The game otherwise features classic Kirby gameplay with relatively simplistic platforming and combat that's focused on Kirby's main ability, consuming enemies and absorbing their power, like some sort of pink necromancer.
Yeah.
That is going to be on the Nintendo Switch. Please get that, and you have to tell me how it is. And then when I come out there, we have to play.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, my God,
totally.
I'm super excited
Absolutely.
For that.
Nintendo has been knocking it out of the park.
Oh,
the
my
Switch.
God, yeah. We're going to need to have a nerd talk about Nintendo.
I agree. I think that's a good idea.
That's coming up. All right, on March 20th, we're getting Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered. That is the, I think that was just on, like, mobile. Wasn't that, like, the mobile Assassin's Creed game they tried to do? Or it was only on the PSP or something? I can't remember.
I don't know.
But yeah, so apparently it got a bunch of people that liked it and wanted it to be on the console with better graphics. So they're remastering that? Boom.
All right, then.
That's going to be on the Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
Ta-da.
Coming out March 20th. This has got, I'm so excited. Sea of Thieves launches.
Oh, that's not what I was expecting.
No. Oh my god. I'm so excited for Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves is something completely new. It's a pirate-themed open-world action-adventure game that's intended as a means of getting players together to take on pirate quests. It's essentially an open-world adventure game dated at people who want to play out their pirate fantasies and who doesn't want to play out their pirate fantasies.
Arr, matey. I've never heard of this game. How the heck have I not heard of this?
Oh my god, I've been like spamming it everywhere. So you can have like multi-crewed ships, and you like it's actually very in-depth, like how the anchor and sailing and windage and like moving certain sails certain directions to go places, and you have to load your like carry cannonballs and load them to shoot things, and there's a very in-depth like sword fighting mechanic, and you sail around and blow up other people and find there's treasure maps, and you have to go through and look at the big map to find the islands and look at clues and puzzles, and there's like actual dungeons, and they're looking at doing like pirate raids at some point, and it's a very in-depth, really cool looking game.
That's correct. I need to look this up.
I'll send you some links. They had, you know, their beta, and then for the last couple weekends they've been doing stress tests where they literally came out and they're like, we want as many people to log in as possible, and your whole goal is to break our game so we know how to fix stuff before it launches.
But it's PC.
Yes, yeah, so I'll be playing it on the PC. So it's Xbox One and PC, and it is actually cross-platform between those two. So you can seamlessly play with people on the Xbox One while you're on the PC. So it's always nice to see more stuff like that happening. Yeah. I'm going to plug it here just because... Log Power Slave from DDU, Nick? Destiny Down Under? So him, a few other people from the community, Chucky Wookie, I love you. So they started a Sea of Thieves podcast because they're so pumped, and that's called Plundercast. And you can find them on all your podcast apps. They're on Twitter, Plundercast, all that stuff. Go check them out. They just had their first episode this week. And they're actually giving out each episode until Sea of Thieves launches. They're giving out three-month Xbox subscription cards.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Honey, we should get an Xbox One.
I've been saying this.
So, there you go. Because apparently Xbox is starting this thing with the subscription, where, like, there's certain games that are involved in that are free. You can just play them if you have the subscription. So, like, basically what they're giving you is, like, 3 free months of playing this game instead of buying it or something. I don't know. I haven't looked too far into that concept, but it sounds pretty cool. But, yeah, Sea of Thieves. It's taken Twitch by storm. It's taken the internet by storm. It's like, yeah, super intense. Anyway, so that's coming out on the 20th.
By storm.
By storm. By a piratey storm. Boy. March 23rd for the PS4 and PC. I do not know what this one is, but okay. Prepare yourselves. I'm going to attempt to read this. Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom.
Yep.
Did I say that right?
It's a sequel to Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch.
Okay. It's a series that takes traditional Japanese role-playing game trope and combines them with the gorgeous art of Studio Ghibli. The iconic film studio behind Spirited Away and Princess... Oh, I've watched both of those. Oh, God, yeah. Though its gameplay is simple, its story is rich with characters and its world is bursting with color. Like The Secret of Mana and Chrono Trigger were for young Super Nintendo gamers in the 1990s, the Ni No Kuni series is for young PlayStation gamers with a penchant for Japanese RPG trappings. PS4 and PC, March 23rd. All right.
Ta-da, I played the first one.
Really? I'll have to check it out.
Who's
that? I'll see if you remember us talking about this one. March 23rd for the Xbox One, PS4, and PC is A Way Out.
The prison one.
Yeah, the prison one, yeah. So that's coming out this month. I thought it was actually further away than that.
You escaped prison.
So it's a single player game or co-op where you play as two people that are in prison, and like you work together to escape, and it's like apparently going to be like a very deep, dark story involved with the whole process.
Well, if you're in prison, I would hope so.
Well, yeah, but I mean, cool. I remember when we first talked about it, you were like, "Oh, is it just like randomly generated prisons you escape from?" But yeah, it's actually like almost like a movie, you know. Where it's not just going to be escaping, it'll be like probably like choices and such. So I'm just going to read this because it's easier that way. Ever wondered what it's like to break out of prison with your best friend?
Yes. Hell yeah.
A game called A Way Out offers just such an opportunity, and it looks fascinating. The game stars two men named Vincent and Leo. They each have their own backstories and goals, but they must work together to escape prison. The way that applies to gameplay is what's so interesting. You and a friend control one of each character, either in a room together or one TV or online. There is no other way to play it. Boom.
That's the only way to
play it? Nope. I mean, you could play it blindfolded or upside down.
In a room together or online? Like, what? What? Okay, whatever.
You and a friend control one of each character, either in a room together, so on split screen, or each of you in, on your own TV online.
Well, so, like, it can't be solo.
What the original description said you could, but this one's saying not, so I'm confused.
Weird.
I am right. Confusion. All right. Confucius. On March 23rd for the Nintendo 3DS, Detective Pikachu.
Gonna be dumb.
A new game for Nintendo's aging handheld console, the 3DS, in 2018. It's true. And a game starring Pikachu, no less. In Detective Pikachu, you play as Tim. What a name. Tim. A guy who gets to work with a bizarro world grizzled Pikachu who happens to be a gritty detective. Talk about a dream job. You're doing the usual detective stuff, gathering evidence, I can't take this seriously, talking to witnesses and attempting to solve various mysteries. Though this game clearly falls into the spin-off category, it seems like a delightful treat for Pokemon fans and newcomers alike. Have you ever played L.A. Noire and wish, God, this would be better with Pikachu? This game is for you.
Better. There's a live-action Pokemon movie being made, and Ryan Reynolds is playing Detective Pikachu.
Oh, God.
Really?
Kill me
now. I'm serious. Nope. I'm 100% serious. That.
All right. March 27th. Pikachu. March 27th for the PS4. Major League Baseball, the show 18.
No, we're not talking about that.
Normally, I would ask you if you're ready for some baseball. But chances are you're totally ready for some baseball. With a few minor exceptions, the MLB The Show is the only game in town when it comes to digital baseball. Like Madden and FIFA, The Show is an annual franchise that serves a specific audience. People who play baseball simulation games. This year's game looks as pretty as ever, and it doesn't look like it's making any major changes to the formula.
Are you, like, plagiarizing people's, like, online summaries right now?
I'm totally making this up. I don't know what you're talking about. This is definitely from the heart. Okay. Absolutely. So, I'm not, like, I like watching baseball if I'm actually there. Like, I can't watch it on TV. But one thing I do have to say, I've seen some trailers for the MLB The Show games coming out every year, and like for some reason that's one of the few trailers every year that blows my mind graphically. Like, it's so realistic looking every year, it's crazy. I don't know what engine they use, but it always looks good. I'll never play it, but it looks fantastic. Alright, the last one on the list, March 27th for the Xbox One, PlayStation 4 and PC, ladies and gentlemen, Far Cry 5.
It looks interesting.
It does. Have you ever wondered what it's like to grow up in Russell's hometown? This game is for you.
Russell is the main antagonist.
Yes, he is. He actually runs... Oh, no, we talked about his grandma's the one that runs the cult, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Far Cry 5 takes place in fictional... They had to make sure you knew that. Fictional Hope County, Montana. It's intended to represent... air quotes, small town rural America, end quotes. I like how political they, like, politically correct they have to be in this description for, because it's Far Cry 5. It's hilarious. Lots of outdoor sports and logging, not a lot of museums and malls. Previous Far Cry games brought players to despot ruled corruption laced tropical lands. Far Cry 5 is the first game in the series set in the U.S. The hook with the Far Cry series is their massive open world environments filled with enemies to kill, animals to hunt, and adventures to be ventured. I like that. Adventures to be ventured. Think of it like a big sandbox full of very violent toys. Far Cry 5 looks to continue that tradition. At its heart, it's still an open-world first-person shooter. There you go. If you like shooting fanatical racists in the face, this game is for you.
Fanatical racists, militia, whatever. Stupid.
Yeah. I've never actually played a Far Cry game, but it does look really interesting.
I played Far Cry 4 for like 20 minutes once. That was all could spare at the time. But I remember it's set in like the mountains, like the Himalayas.
Mountains,
if you're in Nepal. And I had a wingsuit and I jumped off the edge of a cliff and like spread my wings and flew away.
Fly like an eagle. Beautiful. So there we go. Those are the top 10 most important games coming out this month. What a time to be a gamer. Good God. So there you go. Anything else you guys want to cover before we end this episode?
Yeah, where the heck is the last patrol that I need to find to get my daily challenges complete?
It's to your left.
On Titan.
Yeah, to your left.
And then down four paces.
Just kidding. Yes.
Wouldn't that be like crouching?
Yes. So no, I think that's good. I'm all good. Next nerd talk, maybe we'll be able to talk about Brigitte and tell everyone how awesome she is.
One second here. Calumet in chat just brought up Code Vein. I'm looking it up right now.
No.
Last I saw it was coming out this year, but I didn't have a release date. Let me check for you.
Campbell's like. Tomato Soup, man. Possibilities.
When does this come out?
Maybe.
Yeah, on the official website there, Calumet, it still just says coming soon. PS4, Xbox One, and PC. And then it says console after that, so okay. So yeah, I'm not seeing a release date for that, bud.
The new God of War was coming out in March.
No, that one's coming out in April.
Okay, I want that. I can't
believe that one's coming out in 420, bro. Okay. Oh. 420.
Real quick. Holy banana phones. The Avengers Infinity War is releasing a week earlier than they had originally announced.
And April that is what day? 27th. So you can play God of War for a week and then go see Avengers
Infinity War.
Beautiful. Yeah. Alright. Thank you for joining us for Just Some Guardians episode 14. When we do the show, we are live on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/JustSomeGuardians. You can get in there, join the chat, and we'll get you part of the show like our good friend Frogman. And, White Tiger showed up for a little bit, and Calumet were here. So there we go. Beautiful. You can find us on all your podcast apps of choice, iTunes, Podbean, etc. On some smaller ones, once again, there is no space between Just Some and Guardians. You can find us on Twitter at JSGCast. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, anything like that, you can send us an email at justsomeguardians@gmail.com. We have a Discord. I need to remember to post that somewhere. But yeah, you can jump in there. It'll be fun. So there you go. I am...
next time.
Oh, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. I'll tell you. I'll tell you to send us out. That's how it works.
Plantains.
You can find me on Twitter at ElmerFuddGames and on twitch.tv/ElmerFuddGames. Double M, double D. I've recently discovered that some people get really deep fantasy feelings when I do that. So that's good to know.
Yes. Some people also don't quite know what it means.
Yes. That means in Elmer Fudd, there are two M's and two D's. Does not mean there's an MM and a DD at the end of my name. And it's also not Elm_64MDFUD_#whatever. No.
We're looking at you. You know who you are.
You know who you are. Bushman. Anyway, Nick, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on the Twitters at He Who Fights. And my PSN is HWF-7, FORCE.
Boom. And once again, we are on PS4 because that's where all the good content is, and it's the Master Race, and everyone knows it. So there we go. Thank you for joining us for Just Some Guardians episode 14. Nick, take us out.
Join us next time for some mutual chaos and utter incompetency.
Beautiful. There we go. There's a show. What do you know?
That's good.
You sounded pretty good. I think next. No, not at all. I could. There was like maybe a second or two here or there where I could hear a controller, but not too bad. So I think next time, just like how you have it set up is perfect. Just talk louder.
Okay.
No, like that. It's perfect. Seriously.
All right.
This is so comfortable. It's totally natural.
Just some Guardians episode 15 will be the musical episode. We're just singing the whole way.
Oh. I'll
have to do it to the tune of, oh my god, Brett, you should let me open the podcast for just like a quick second.
All right, done. That's happening. Thank you all in chat for joining us. We love all of you. Have a wonderful night, Frogman, Calamet, and White Tiger.